Hey, I'm Jonathan Reynolds, your host of the Titus Talent Podcast. We are celebrating our summer series with the whole theme of EOS, the Entrepreneurial Operating System. And I am delighted to be sitting here with my great friend, Justin Most. What's up?
Hey, man. How are you?
I'm doing awesome.
Awesome. Thank you for having me on the show. I'm excited.
It is cool. It's cool. So, EOS Conference 2023.
Yeah.
You just spoke.
I did.
It was a packed room, and people were loving it, and a lot of energy going on in there, I hear. Mm-hmm. I want to hear, talk to me about your session. Let's go straight in here.
EOS is made up of six key components, and so they wanted me to teach on the IDS topic, the issues component, and it's probably my favorite component because I have a lot of issues, so I had to master this myself, and so literally it was just me unloading, like zooming out, businesses, people, the winners,
yeah,
they make decisions faster, and they execute on those decisions faster. Like I don't care what it is, business, sports, life. There's some people have the same 24 hours, but they get more done because of their pace. And so that was, I wanted to teach on IDS. I wanted to teach on the power of David Gerard. He was the VP of Google. He's known for building a $1 billion business inside of Google, the enterprise app. And he wrote an article called Speed as a Habit. And he believes that speed, like eating healthy and exercise, can become a habit. And I've fallen in love with the mindset that IDS, when you look at EOS, EOS is designed to increase the speed of decision-making and executing on those amazing decisions faster.
Yeah.
And so that's what I talked on today. It was so much fun. Packed room. We had to turn like, I don't know, 50, 60 people away. I felt bad, but there wasn't enough chairs, so it was awesome.
How bad did you really feel? You didn't feel that bad, did you?
No, I felt bad because I wanted those people to be able to come in. I wanted them in there.
What would you say to them?
Yeah.
Let's imagine the 50 people going, oh, I'm so glad I'm listening to this podcast right now because I missed his session. I couldn't see it online.
Yeah. What would I say to them?
What are you going to fill them in? Give them the TED Talk, the highlight version.
I would say, I'm so sorry you missed it. I wouldn't say that. I would say most of the content is Gino Rota, an ebook called Decide. And this is about helping people make decisions better, faster. So I'd tell them to read the ebook Decide. You can Google Gino Wickman ebook Decide and it'll pop up. I would also tell them to read the article by Dave Gerard called Speed as a Habit.
Yeah.
Honestly, I read a lot. I listen a lot.
Yeah.
But someone sent me this article and it's, Jonathan, it's the best article that I've read in probably 3 years. And it literally was the basis of my talk. So it's Dave Gerard's information. I don't know if I stole it or not, but
you clearly did.
I clearly
did. You said, you missed my talk. Read these two things.
Read this article.
That were not by me.
And the other thing I would say is if you don't know EOS, like read it and implement it because it will help you as an organization.
Well, you look at the camera. You look at me.
I'm going to look at you. Don't look here. Make EOS helps teams and business owners make decisions, better decisions faster.
Yeah.
And execute on those decisions faster. Powerful.
So, okay, now I function quite fast, and those who are around me, close to me, like say things like slow down.
yeah.
Don't make your decisions so fast.
Yeah.
Slow down.
Yeah.
And I run a lot. I'm a avid runner. Why are you laughing?
I have this image that you just created for me. That's why I'm
What
laughing.
Was I doing in the
well,
image?
Well, in the image you were running. That's why I laughed.
What did that look like? All right. So we got crew members just walking out of the room laughing right now. This is not good. So other than fasting or intermittent fasting, doing things fast is what you're talking about, making decisions faster.
Yes.
And I'm being told slow down. So there's some tension here. I'm just being real with you. So
yeah,
what am I supposed to do with that?
So somewhere around that, a friend of mine, Jason Lippert from Lippert Components.
Yeah.
He's the CEO. And we went into a coaching relationship. So I had a year with him, and we met once a month for an hour. And probably the second or third time I had a meeting with him, he goes, "Well, you got an hour." I'm like, "I get an hour with all my clients. What do you mean?" He goes, "Well, within my company," he goes, "I'm usually making decisions in 15-minute increments. That we have meetings in 15-minute increments." He goes, "So you have an hour." And instantly, when he said that to me, I was like I was like, "Oh, so I gotta deliver more value than I mentally was thinking." He goes, "Justin, we make acquisition decisions. We make this decisions." He runs a $5 billion enterprise.
Yeah.
And so 15,000 employees, he goes, "We make decisions in 15-minute increments." So when you say what you just said to me, I would say, yeah, there's some decisions that could be fatal if you make them too fast. But even Dave Girard talks about, he's like, most decisions in business aren't worth more than 10 minutes. He's like, they aren't worth more. So the idea, I would say, why can't we make decisions faster? It's dangerous to put that on everybody, but you're not everybody, and you're attracting a certain type of team member. And if you want to move faster, then you recruiting, hire people that like to move fast.
Yes.
But there can be danger if you only have fast people and people that don't have lots of deep thinking and all that. But I'm just saying, you can make speed a habit.
Totally.
Even if you're a high fact-finding, lots of detail person, don't try to move as fast as maybe you. But you can move faster if you want.
Yeah.
You just have to be intentional about the way you're doing it. And EOS helps people make a lot of those decisions, because you and I both know sometimes pre-made decisions means you don't have to decide anymore. There's no more decision making. You have pre-made decisions.
Yes.
Like having a vision traction organizer.
Yeah.
Like having rocks. Like having... Totally. All the pre-made decisions means I don't even have to think about this.
Right.
That increases speed.
Yes.
And then when I'm executing on those decisions, if I get everybody understanding these are pre-made, scorecard metrics, pre-made.
Yeah.
We've already decided we're going to get this goal.
Totally.
So just execute on it.
Yep.
That's what I mean.
Oh, okay. It's clicking with me now. I'm thinking of Scott, my integrator. Often we'll find myself in a small meeting, leadership meeting, executive meeting, something, and someone will mention something about somebody who's underperforming or just really struggling.
Yeah.
And I, being quite a heart visionary leader, I'm like, well, what's going on? And like, not empathy necessarily, but I'm like, can we fix this? What's going on?
Right.
And I'll start asking a bunch of questions, and Scott will say, hey, can we not spend time talking about underperforming people in this meeting?
Yes.
We're going to keep our eyes up here.
Yeah.
And I'm like, sorry. You know, like,
so
that's the visionary integrator,
like
playing to one another's strengths. I'm like, it is something I can do really well, but it's not something that I should be spending my time doing right now in this meeting with this group of people. It's a very expensive meeting. So, and so he always talks about that. He says, this is a really expensive meeting.
Yes.
Is that how you want to spend time talking about the lowest underperforming person in the company?
100%.
Like, and I'm like, no, sir.
And that's deciding. That's one of the ways to like decide who needs to solve this issue. Does the whole leadership team need to make this decision?
Right.
Or can we send this to a department? Right.
Totally.
There, that's speed. We can talk about the most important things, and I have a way to send issues to another team.
Yeah.
And it's a filtering mechanism.
Man, I gotta get better at this. This is good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the speed of processing issues and delegation.
Yeah. Yep.
That's cool. And so say the articles again, the book and the article.
The article is Speed as a Habit.
Okay.
By Dave Girard.
Yep.
And then the ebook by Gino Wickman is Decide.
Decide, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've not heard of that either.
And then I threw in like 7 disciplines, but it was, you know, at the end of the day, the mindset is what matters most.
Totally.
When you think about Olympic athletes, when you're at that level, all of their physical specimen, like the athleticism, the physical body is almost all the same. There's not a lot different.
Yeah.
But it's the mindset of that athlete that thinks differently, and that's that competitive advantage.
Yep.
And so when you have a leadership team, they have the same level of skill. They have the same level of experience.
Yes.
They have the same level of desire to grow, but one has a mindset for speed and the other doesn't. Who's going to win? who do you want to bet on? If they have all the same stuff, but they just choose to move with speed, who's freaking going to win?
Yeah, totally. The defeated mindset versus the winner's mindset. I get it. Well, you have an absolute winner's mindset and speed when you're talking about going faster. I'm even just going, remembering back to that home build. We're in Mexico and
that was
you
awesome.
Were running with like three plywood boards on your head. Like,
so fun.
No one else.
That was a blessing too. That was a lot of fun.
No, I'm just like,
that was a lot of
I'm
fun.
I'm like, man, can he go any faster? When you're talking about becoming speed as a habit, I'm like, yeah, I could see how habitual it was for you even then.
100%.
I can push harder. That, I can do more.
All
and I
of
can
that
go
is
faster.
Intentional.
Yeah.
All of it. It's just like, why take longer if I can go faster?
Yeah. I got to pick this back up again. I used to run everywhere. I was like Forrest Gump.
You did too?
Oh, yeah.
That is me.
I used to run everywhere.
We are the same. That's funny.
Seriously. Yeah, and then I just...
I still do, actually.
Yeah, well, I know. But just pegging it, just but running all over the place. But he's in, I don't know. I don't know why I stopped. I think people started making fun of me. But but maybe people make fun of you, but you don't know it. But that's probably a good thing. You shield it, or you're just so secure. Okay, so talk to me about a book. You're writing a book.
Oh, no. I'm not writing a book.
I just wanted to see your face.
I'm not writing a book. There's no book being written.
No.
Speed is a habit.
If you were going to write a book, what would it be about?
If I were to write a book,
be
honest,
it doesn't have to stay within the realms of what you do today. But
if I were to write a book, So my mentor just died, 107 years old, and I've basically since 23 years old, I've been modeling and pursuing and chasing after this image of who I think God's called me to be.
Yeah.
And if I were to write a book, it would be about the power of a faith-driven business leader and the impact they could have if they actually embrace the calling of building a business versus, and I think in our country, a lot of people feel like their calling is misled if it's about business.
Yeah. Was that the title?
No, I don't know. It's not the title. But I've studied these people and I love business.
Yeah.
And my mentor's 107. He when I face to face met him when he was 93 and we talked. And he had retired at age 87 or 84. He retired at age 84. Yeah. And he's like, I wasn't planning on retiring. He goes, Justin, I just knew that it was time to, pass on. He goes, I still go into work every day. And he was going into work every day till 96 when he had a stroke. And he had to relearn how to talk, walk, and eat. So if I were to write a book, it literally be about how do I help people get a vision for the whole of their life? Like, I'm going to live till I die. And if I'm passionate about guys like us, guys that love business and love Jesus.
Yeah.
But I want to help more people be intentional about how far can you go with this? Because the impact of a business leader and what they can do, culture, funding ministry, all kinds of things could be exponential if they actually understood it was their calling versus a freaking job or that they're the business owner.
Right.
Versus a calling before God.
Yeah.
I would write a book about that.
All right. When you say I would.
Yeah.
Would you? Do you think you might or no?
No. I will.
What if you acted in the movie of the book you never wrote?
Here's the deal. I would rather have a case of gout than write a book. So I think the message is powerful. I would rather live the message. And if I live it to the degree that it's worthy of a book, there's already amazing books on some of this content.
Yes, totally.
Already.
Yeah.
Truett Cathy has written a couple books, Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
David Green from Hobby Lobby. Yeah. He's written a couple books. But what makes their book so powerful is they're a living example.
Yeah.
I'm not ready to write my book if I were ever to write one. I would rather be a living example than write a book that's not in me.
Well, I tell you, I sat in a room last night with about 50 leaders that you've have direct impacted influence over, and that is the first tiny little ripple, the first ring.
Yeah.
And the ripple effect of that is, I'm sure, countless.
Yeah.
But it's awesome. I spoke to so many of them just about the impact that you've had on their life, to some of them in like tearing up.
Yeah.
And sitting with a couple here on this couch here on the talking about the impact that you've had on their business and their marriage because of teaching principles, giving them tools and resources. Like your life is really impactful. It's been impactful to me, and getting to meet your family, which is interesting. Another dynamic as well, being the pace in which you move at, the impact that you want to make, and the significance in the world. The first and foremost is your family. How do you juggle those things? And talk about intentionality there, because I think that'd be really awesome, cool for question. Some of the listeners.
So you want to know something I suck at? Is that what you're asking me?
Oh, we're going to get there. I'll ask it explicitly if you don't tell us openly.
No, I let's see, what was it? 2011, my wife, I was in a nonprofit that my brother and I co-founded with a couple others. And it was amazing. The mission is amazing. It's called Five Star Life. And I'm deeply passionate about it, but I never wanted to be in a nonprofit. I never wanted to be a fundraiser, and I never wanted to be in a youth ministry. Those three things. And I happened, because I love my brother, I was in exactly those three things, and I was frustrated. I was stuck, and I didn't say it to anybody. And one day my wife pulled me aside, and we had a 30-minute conversation, and she just looked at me, and she put her hand on my shoulder, tears rolling down her eyes, and she said, "You're miserable." She goes, "Because you're miserable." She goes, "Nobody in this whole community knows that you're miserable, but we're taking the family, me and your three kids are taking the brunt of you being miserable." She goes, "You're not the husband I thought you'd be when I married you 16 years ago. You're not the father I thought you'd be when I married you 16 years ago. And she said, "You're not the man I thought you'd be." And I couldn't argue with one iota of everything she said. She's my best friend, and she was stabbing me from the front. I hate backstabbers, but if you love me, you're going to stab me from the front. You're going to give me the truth. And thankfully, I wasn't bitter, and I wasn't vengeful, and I wasn't argumentative. I just let it sink to my core. And I did not like who I was, and I was stuck. And so within 60 days, I left Five Star, started this leadership training company, and I've been on a race horse ever since. And she came back to me a month into that, and she said, "When I married you 16 years ago, this is exactly what I had in mind." And so how do I balance it? I think, number one, I think my wife and I are in alignment as to why we are doing what we're doing. We take EOS principles, the whole VTO. We literally live it. I have a personal L10 meeting once a week. We solve better issues and get on the same page more because of those simple tools. EOS is just a tool for human beings to freaking operate at a higher level than they were before, because most of us are just habitually mediocre. And so EOS helped raise the bar of how I attack life.
Yeah.
And so Jenny and I do L10 meetings. We have a VTO, and it's so helpful. And so I didn't make this decision on my own. We're 100% aligned, and it's hard.
Yeah.
But I want to model Olympic athletes. Not many people. We all adore them and celebrate them, but not many people want to actually be an Olympic athlete.
Yeah.
Like I want to be an Olympic Christian, and I want to be an Olympic speaker, and I want to be an Olympic business owner. Mm-hmm. And so I'm willing to do the work necessary to try to live at a different level. And my wife is 100% with me.
Wow.
So we're just trying to take steps together.
What are some of the biggest things that attack that for you in your life? I mean, those are three things you want to be a kind of Olympic elite at. Like where are the biggest sort of pressures that you would crumble in that and not rise to it?
For me, because I didn't have any structure in my life, it just requires an enormous amount of discipline. And I just knew I had this huge gap. I mean, that's why my line, "Success Loves Discipline," is 100% designed for Justin Lost.
Yeah.
Like, I just need to remind myself that if I want success at home, or if I want success in my business, or if I want success as a speaker, if I want success in my bank account, I need to freaking fall in love with discipline.
Yeah.
You show me where you want to success, and I promise you there's a couple disciplines that will get you there.
Yeah.
And so many people, they want success in their business because it's taking more of their time, more of their energy. It's sucking the life out of them. They don't have the bank account they want. And it's really because they personally are really bad bosses of themselves.
Yeah.
And then because of that, they put in so much effort that they sacrifice all kinds of other things because they don't have the internal structure.
Yeah.
And so EOS is just a simple set of tools
yeah.
to help any human being yeah. own a handful of disciplines to get better results in the key areas that yes. happen to make a business successful.
Yes. I love it. It's like this is amazing. I mean, if I wasn't running on EOS right now, I'd want to. I'd be like, listen, I want Jesus and EOS. and can you be my implementer?
It's here. This is the crazy thing. Yeah. This is Gino's content, not mine.
Yeah.
And I was a speaker, trainer, coach. I'm certified with the John Maxwell team. I was running the largest leadership event in Northern Indiana. I'd have 1,500 people to my event. I brought I brought all kinds of leaders, but events challenge people. Process changes people.
Yeah.
And so I was an event guy.
Yeah.
And when my client told me what I was telling you earlier, I mean, basically the conversation was like, it's like, Justin, thank you so much for this leadership and this culture and all this stuff. Like it yeah. was such a compliment. And then he paused. He's like, but EOS actually helped us do it. Yeah. And this is like, I'm 2 years, 3 years into my new leadership business. And I have my first client saying, but EOS actually helped us do it.
Yeah.
I looked at him. I'm like, Levi, that was the nicest backhanded compliment that I've ever received. I'm like, what the heck is EOS? I'd never heard of it. That was yeah. in 2015. And I need this for me. Like, I'm not just an implementer. I own another company called Rackley Restoration
yeah.
that I started because of this big, hairy dream I have of exceedingly abundantly more than I could ever ask or imagine. I'm yeah. trying to bring to life.
Yeah.
And I'm forcing that team to run on EOS because I believe it's the most simplest, sustainable, transferable, replicatable yeah. system of tools to manage human energy so we can freaking crush it.
Yes.
So we're trying. It. We're doing it. I love it. We're all in.
I met you, some of your team last night, your integrator and finance and
yeah.
operations, yeah. whatever, yeah. you know. But it's cool to meet some of the people I've heard about the company
yeah.
And seeing it come back to a sort of a new wave of life.
Yeah.
You're
yeah.
pretty envisioned about for that. But
hey, hold on. They love you. Like they thank you. Because I brought them to this conference for a reason, and yeah. I handpicked them. Like one of you has to go to Jonathan's deal because you said something last night at my client appreciation event that there was a bar. Like you want performance, and you want to love your people really well, and you can have both. Mm. And I believe that. I know that. I'm trying to live that.
Yeah.
But sometimes you know it's my company, and them seeing that other people are actually doing it. They're not just hearing some crazy guy because my company isn't as big as yours. So they're yeah. like, is this really true? Can we do this? Like you were the living picture of it's possible.
Oh, that's cool.
And so I'm grateful. That was awesome.
Oh, it's cool. Yeah, I had fun. I had fun with them. Totally threw me off. I was going to say something like mind-blowingly amazing.
Because you're not used to people saying you're good at something?
Yeah, that's true. See... That was the best, like, build me Sorry. Up and then yank me down. Yank me down. I felt like helium Just going kidding. Up. And then some child yanked the rope down and brought me back to reality and then popped me. I was going to say about, what the next few years look like for you, kind of where mm-hmm. you fast forward personally. Mm-hmm. Like, it's 2023 right now, so yeah. let's fast forward 10 years. It's... the summer of 33.
Wow. 2033. I'm 57. I'll be 58.
58
then.
Years old. Like, yeah. I mean, basically, you're barely walking. You got yourself a little walker.
No, you meant I'm still dunking the basketball. Yeah, is that what you meant? Yeah, okay, good.
But 58 years old. Hmm. What does life look like for you? Your kids are out of home. Mm-hmm. That's all kind of moved on. What's going on in the mouse world?
So my wife and I are thriving. We're more dialed in. We're seeing the compound effect of from 48 to 58 taking shape. We're seeing all kinds of results happening in terms of I could sum up why we do what we do in 6 words. I want to bless people.
Yeah.
I want to grow the companies that I have, and I want to fund ministry. Like those are our 6 words. My wife and I have a personal one, which is really more about honor God, love people, and live generously.
Yeah.
And so that's 10 years of that. Okay. Everything focused on that.
Yep.
What does that look like? I'm still implementing EOS. I'm still helping companies break okay. through ceilings. So that's happening. That'll be till I'm probably 70 or 80 years old. Like, I love it. That's happening. Rackley Restoration, my little company that's just one location, in 10 years, we will have replicated that many, many, many times, and we will be having transformative impact on the owner-operators that have chosen to say yes to being a part of the Rackley Restoration team all across the country. And we'll have a model, thanks to EOS, that is replicatable.
Like a franchise owner-operator?
Like Chick-fil-A is an owner-operator model. Yeah. It's not a franchise, but it's an owner-operator.
Yeah.
And so we're going to do something like that. So that is that within 10 years, that is well into motion. And now we're starting to hit that hockey stick where now it's just sell and market to people that want more of that opportunity because we've mastered the tools and the business is succeeding. And then the result is my work and Rackley Restoration's work is able to fund that five-star life mission that I'm just freaking jacked about, transforming the lives of millions of kids across the country.
What else are you going to do?
I don't think that's it. That's it.
What
will
you do on the weekends?
I will rest. I do believe in rest. I totally believe in rest.
So nothing really significant then.
No, I still need to work on dreaming. There's a gap in me, you know, just believing and dreaming.
Yeah. I love it. Any like more bucket list things for you? Any the rest of your life, things that you'd love to see?
So my mentor,
I
asked him this similar question. Like I said, do you have any goals? He was 93 when I asked him. Stupid question. Don't ever ask a 93 if you have goals. Because he looked at me and goes, I had some. Like, that's a dumb question. He goes, but then he looked at me as well. Because Justin, I wanted to give $100 million to the fund this mission that I'm passionate about, the Oriental Mission Society. He goes, to date? He's 93. He goes, to date, we've given over $130 million to fund this mission I'm passionate about.
What?
So at 93, he's still excited about his goals. And then he says, number two, he goes, Justin, we traveled the world, all over the world, probably 12 times, my wife and I, traveling with this missionary organization. He goes, it was amazing. Most fun, biggest adventure of my life. He goes, it was amazing. That was number two. And then number three, he's looks down and he goes, I can't remember it, but I'm sure I did it. And what that hit me is I think us Americans, we have a bucket list of all the things we want to do. And what struck me was at 93, he was so laser focused on the top two.
Yeah.
He didn't really have a bucket list.
Yeah.
He was saying less is more. There's a few things that I want to do with my wife and what is that? Without vision, people perish.
Yeah.
Other translations, without vision, people cast off restraint.
Yeah.
He literally just wanted to restrain his life, his time, his energy, his essence to do the few things that God called him to do.
Yeah.
So I don't really have a bucket list.
Yeah.
Like there's just a couple things and I want to make sure I take care of my family. Another thing I think I could say is I've got grandkids at 58 and my kids, love Jesus, and I've helped them get businesses off the ground or help them some way that would be a lot of fun. Yeah.
That's no small feat, but very, very doable with God, right?
Yeah, for sure. 100%.
Well, I'm cheering you on, man.
No. He has plans that are exceedingly abundantly beyond anything we could ever ask or imagine.
Yeah.
And without faith, it's impossible to please God. Yep. So anything that I say, it's embarrassing that I say them. But I'm trying to live by faith.
Yeah.
And so I'm saying, I'll show you my faith by my works. I'll beat my body, make it my slave, pursue all the things, the few things, because that's, I feel like I want to hear at the end of my life, and it's not going to be at 58, I hope.
No.
I hope it's like Stanley, 107, but I want to hear well done.
Well done.
That's it.
Yeah.
I want to hear well done. So whatever I have to do to hear well done, I'm going to do that.
Well, done. Well done. Well done for me. Anyway, I'm like, you're an inspiration to me. And I love at a distance kind of running alongside you.
Same.
As
you.
Same direction. So
yeah.
It's cool.
Parallel tracks. Totally. You just happen to be like 50 miles ahead of me and it's fun to watch what you're doing.
I run a little bit slower than you.
No, you're way ahead of me. You're way ahead of me. Oh, I love and it. It's fun to, it's really like, it's an honor just to spend time with you, man. Oh, I love you.
I feel
you.
The same. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks for joining us today. And if you can go to justinmaust.com, M-A-U-S-T.
Yeah.
.com.
Mm-hmm.
And connect with this guy. He's amazing. All right. Cheers. Bye.